expect kings and queens to reign over their kingdom. That's as it should be. But do we ourselves expect to reign over our own affairs? Should we expect to reign over our own affairs, to reign over our lives? Is that a right expectation or not? What does God's word have to say about all that? Well, today, we're going to find out. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Welcome again to A Different Perspective. Today on the program, I'm joined by a very special guest who's written a book about living in victory. Hey, one of the people that I follow on Twitter is Queen_UK. Of course, it's not really Her Majesty the Queen, at least I hope it's not. Queen_UK is an incredibly irreverent but hilariously funny parody of the monarch, and I'm sure Her Majesty would get a great laugh out of it. One of Queen_UK's recent tweets went something like this: "Reigning 9 to 5, what a way to make a living." And I thought, that's really funny. I mean, I can't sing very well, but it brings a smile to my face every time I think about it. And I guess that reigning is something we imagine somehow that a king or a queen does, a sovereign, reigning over their kingdom. Reigning is something we imagine God does, reigning over the kingdom of God, over heaven, over earth, over everything. But do we ever think about us, you and me, us commoners, if you like, reigning in life? I wonder, are we supposed to reign in life, or are we supposed to be meek and humble? Isn't that what Jesus says? Does this idea of reigning over life have a place at all? Barry Chan, welcome again today on the program.
Thanks, Bernie.
Barry's my special guest this week and next, talking about some of the powerful biblical truths about who we are and how we can live our lives. They're cram-packed into his latest book, Living in the Image of God. Barry, in your book, you start off the chapter on reigning in life with a question: who calls the tune in your life? What do you mean by that?
Well, it's an interesting question. It goes back, I think, to a similar saying: he who pays the piper calls the tune.
Right.
And the image there, I guess, goes back maybe to Elizabethan times, when you have just to say a banquet, and the lord of the manor, or the king maybe, is at the head table up in the dais, and got all the pewter crockery and stuff, and the big roast ducks, and down in the corner is a piper. And he's been told to play his green sleeves, for example. But then someone else comes along, and he's got a young lady with him, and he wants him to play the young lady's favourite song. So he says, "Well, you play this one." So the piper changes the song. And then the baron, or the king, he hears this, and he says, "What are you doing? I told you to play so-and-so." And he said, "Who pays you? Who feeds you? Who looks after you? I do. You play what I want." So he who pays the piper calls the tune. That's what the saying is. The idea there is that if someone pays you, then that someone is the one who has the authority then to determine what you do. Well, in life, we often face situations like that, where there are things around us that call the tune. In other words, they're the things we draw satisfaction from, are the things that keep us going, and so they kind of determine what we do and how we live. And it could be anything. It could be people around us. It could be the society in which we live. It could be people's opinion of us. It could be who does pay us our actual weekly salary. It could be all manner of things, but actually, because we're receiving those things, we somehow feel obliged to live according to those things. Or maybe things within us, the lusts, the desires in our hearts, the attitudes we have, all those things, they control us. And the question, who calls the tune, is the question saying, okay, what controls you? What is it that makes you do what you do? What is it that determines the decisions you make? And so in my book, I'm suggesting that we need to be careful who does that. And the best person to call the tune is God, because he's going to lead us to do the right things, and he's going to enable us to make the right decisions. Now, you talked about the phrase reigning in life, and that's a Bible phrase. It comes straight out of the scripture. And that means that instead of life controlling us in determining what we do, then we determine what happens around us, God helping us. Maybe if I can tell a little brief story here that's in the book. When I was 19 years of age, I had a very serious motorcycle accident. I mean, very serious. I was on my deathbed. Mm-hmm. And it was 3 days before the doctors gave my family any hope I was going to recover. And I had major surgery. I was having blood transfusion, intravenous feeding. My spine was fractured. My skull was fractured. My arm was fractured. I had serious internal injuries. And I'm lying in the hospital bed, on my deathbed, really, nobody knowing whether I was going to live or die. And one of the cleaners came past, and I had in my one good hand, because one arm's broken, I had a little New Testament that Vanessa, my wife, had given me, my fiancé then. And she thought I had a prayer book. So she comes past my bed, and she said, "Will you pray for me?" And then she goes on her way. And I thought afterwards, what an amazing situation. Here am I on my deathbed, and here's this woman, healthy, well, and everything. and she asked me to pray for her. And I thought, who was reigning in life? You know, he was, although it looked like she was, I was the one that she thought had the answer that she needed. She's someone to pray for her. I guess that's just the kind of thing I'm talking about, that even in the most adverse situation and in the worst possible situation, even there you can still be in control. You still say, this thing is not going to control me. It's not going to determine how I think. It's not going to determine how I feel. Nothing of that. I will still reign in life because I will still make the right decisions under God of how I should react to these things.
How does that match up with being meek and mild? I mean, one of the things Jesus said was, yeah, blessed are the meek, you know. Is this idea of reigning in life pride? I mean, how do the two fit together?
Oh, well, I think the difference is I'm not talking about reigning over other people. I'm not talking about becoming prime minister or premier or something. It's not that kind of authority. It's a spiritual authority over spiritual issues. So I'm not even talking about authority in a family or anything like that. It's saying, okay, how can I rule over the things that would otherwise rule over me? When Paul uses the phrase in the Bible, he's talking about sin. Mm-hmm. And he says, sin has ruled and therefore death has ruled over us until Jesus came. But through Jesus now, life reigns and we can reign over that. So, for example, sins or habits that once we could not stop doing, which we could not control, things like, it could be anything, it could be, you know, sort of gross sins like adultery and drunkenness and so on, or it could be more subtle ones like pride or like bitterness or resentment or fear or those things, things that once controlled us of what things that we could not control.
Nothing subtle over my sin of pride, I have to tell you. It wasn't subtle at all.
Yeah. Well, I say they're subtle in the sense they're not obvious, not so obvious to other people. But the thing is that they are things which can dominate our lives.
So is the whole idea that God gives us the power to reign over the sin in our lives and the power to control ourselves?
In particular, yeah. So it's control over sin, for a start, and the ability to reject sin, to refuse to give in to temptation, the ability to overcome it, and also the ability to control other things in a way that means that, we'll say, take alcoholism, for example. Reigning in life means that not that you never drink at all, but you never get drunk because you're in control.
Yeah.
And you don't let the alcohol control you control it. Or television viewing. It means that rather than being glued to the TV screen 24 hours a day or whatever, that you decide what you'll watch and when you'll watch it, because the Lord gives you a power to make those sort of decisions of authority and mastery and control.
I guess we often don't think about taking our faith into those areas, like what we watch on television, for instance.
Well, we should. We should, because that's an area where discernment is very much needed and control is needed, so that you don't just let the TV determine what goes into your brain and what goes into your mind. So for me, I'm going to determine what goes into my mind. My mind's like a big
big sponge that soaks stuff up.
It soaks things up, and I don't want rubbish to be going into my mind all the time. And that's reigning in life. It's saying I'm not going to let what's out there determine what comes into my head. I will make that decision. And I'd make that with the help of God, and I make that because I'm a Christian and because I believe that's what God wants, but also because he enables me to make those sort of decisions. So that's reigning in life. It's exercising mastery. It's determining what happens.
We're going to take that a bit further tomorrow. We're going to talk about self-mastery a little bit more tomorrow because we're out of time. Barry, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
It's not always that easy to overcome the battles in life, whether they're battles that we're fighting on the outside or battles from within. The enemy will always attack us at our weakest point, whether that happens to be in a situation or a relationship, or whether it's in the way we see ourselves and in our relationship with God. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet called The Sweet Taste of Victory. It's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you live in the victory that Jesus has already won for you on that cross and through the empty tomb. In fact, at the end of each chapter, there are some life application questions to help you receive and reflect on God's word, and then apply what he's saying to you right into the realities of your life. To request your copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.